produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Monday, March 10th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Well, another weekend is over, and it's Monday here on The Stash, and coming up after the news, we've got our Reformers calendar. So get your pen and pencil ready so that you can write down the important dates coming up this week in the cannabis community. Our good friend Cannabis Carrie has declared it Blues Monday. Surely when we go to work after a weekend, you've got a little bit of the blues, right? Well, today's musical break features Davis Cohen with the DEA Blues, which has got to be one of the worst cases of blues you can get. Then we round things up with an interview with Mason Tvert of Safer in Denver, who talks about the three successful marijuana deprioritization initiatives and how the city of Denver is ignoring the will of the people. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. It's time for your normal daily audio stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Former NARC gives advice on avoiding drug arrest. From the Baltimore Sun. Barry Cooper, age 38, is a fast-talking former narcotics cop who is best known for changing sides in the war on drugs in December 2006 when he released Never Get Busted Again. In the DVD, he offered marijuana users advice on how to avoid arrest during traffic stops. Now Cooper has begun shipping a new title, Never Get Raided, which teaches viewers how to buy, sell, and grow pot without going to jail. He also gives tips for identifying undercover officers. Cooper turned in his badge and grew his hair long about 10 years ago after souring on U.S. drug laws and being investigated by the Drug Enforcement Agency for smuggling drugs out of Mexico. Quote, "The last 3 months of my law enforcement career, I had started smoking pot," he said recently, "and I noticed the people I had been arresting were nice people. They had a balanced checkbook, their kids made straight A's, and I was like, this drug is not making people crazy," end quote. He advocates the legalization of all drugs. If the laws changed, he said, addicts would receive better treatment, drug-fueled crime would plummet, and illegal drug empires would collapse. Well, now, I've seen Cooper's video, the first one, and certainly he provides a fascinating cop's eye view of the drug war. However, he gives some tips to cannabis consumers that I would consider big mistakes, like consenting to a search by an officer without a warrant. Never give up your rights. Never consent to a search. You have the right to remain silent, so use it. Call a lawyer. You can always check for an attorney familiar with the cannabis laws in your area by consulting the Normal Legal Committee at the Find a Lawyer link on our website, norml.org. Study tackles marijuana addiction. When marijuana is used in adolescence, it can permanently change the brain's chemistry and how the brain functions, said Francesca Philby, a research scientist at the Mind Research Network at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. Philby and another Mind Research scientist, Kent Hutchinson, have started a $930,000 five-year study to understand more about the complex workings of marijuana in adolescence. They want to study the brains of 96 adults, about half of whom used marijuana in their adolescent years and half who didn't. What we want to look at is the long-term effects, Philby said. We want to look at adults and see how their brains have changed. The researchers are looking for volunteers to participate in the study. All personal information will be kept confidential. Participants must be over age 18. The researchers are looking for both those who smoked marijuana between the ages of 13 to 18 and those who didn't smoke marijuana between those ages for a control group. Well, now, teenagers should definitely not be using cannabis, except under a doctor's supervision for specific medical treatment. Studies have shown that marijuana does have harmful effects on the developing adolescent brain. It will be interesting to see what these researchers find. Crime pays for U.S. prison companies. Inquirer.net. The United States leads the world in the number of people it incarcerates, and government figures show the country's prison population grew by 3% to a record 2.3 million inmates in 2006. Harsher sentencing policies have put more criminals behind bars, and prison management firms such as the Corrections Corporation of America, CCA, and the GEO Group are racing to build new jails or expand existing facilities to house more convicted felons. CCA's profits swelled to $35 million in the fourth quarter of last year, rising $32 million in the same period of 2006, as revenues jumped to $382 million. GEO Group's profits rose 10% to $11.5 million during the fourth quarter of 2007. Yeah, the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs, it's just the biggest federal jobs program in history. Rather than provide real employment for poor people in the cities, we only allow a violent criminal underground black market economy to support the least among us. That provides easy arrests for the cops and easy cases for the prosecutors, who can then cite statistics that make it seem like they're fighting crime, even as the drug prohibition fosters more crime. It also provides business to the construction companies that build prisons, the suppliers that maintain prisons, and the companies that secure prisons, all funded by the taxpayers. Then we lock up the poor from the cities in those prisons and hire the poor from the rural areas to guard them. Politicians get to look tough on crime, and corporations get the benefit of way below minimum wage prison slave labor.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Lithium may help kick marijuana habit. Sydney, Australia. Australian researchers said lithium, commonly used for bipolar disorder, can help pot smokers kick the habit without withdrawal symptoms. A research team from the Corella Drug Treatment Services and the University of New South Wales prescribed 500 milligrams of lithium twice a day for 7 days to 20 people who were long-time habitual cannabis users, the Sydney Morning Herald reported Thursday. After 3 months, most of the users were smoking cannabis less often. Many had given up completely, the newspaper said. Chief investigator Adam Winstock said withdrawal symptoms for heavy pot smokers often include disturbances in mood and sleep, and hostility that can cause them to relapse. The National Drug and Alcohol Research Center estimates that 1 in 10 people who try marijuana will become dependent on the drug. Huh, that's funny. Every time I listen to lithium, I want to smoke more marijuana. Now, as for the drug lithium, yeah, I bet after 3 months of that, you'd be doing a whole host of other things less often. And whose cannabis use is causing so much problem that they would risk the known side effects of lithium, which can include increased frequency of urination or loss of bladder control, increased thirst, nausea, trembling of hands, acne or skin rash, bloated feeling or pressure in the stomach, muscle twitching, diarrhea, drowsiness, loss of appetite, muscle weakness, vomiting, slurred speech, blurred vision, clumsiness or unsteadiness, confusion, convulsions, dizziness, fainting, fast or slow heartbeat, irregular pulse, troubled breathing, unusual tiredness or weakness, weight gain, blue color and pain in fingers and toes, coldness of arms and legs, dizziness, eye pain, headache, or noises in the ears. Well, the good news is that if you experience the nausea, trembling, twitching, loss of appetite, or headache from the lithium, you could always alleviate it with some medical marijuana.
Yeah, this 10 individuals.
Yeah.
And we just want y'all to know that weed helps, you know what I'm saying? So I just want y'all to stop messing with the people who need it to live. It's helping people out there with cancer, AIDS, you know what I'm saying? So y'all gotta let it be, man. Legalize this.
The number one thing you can do to end cannabis prohibition for responsible adults is to get involved with the activists and organizations in your local area. Get your date book ready to jot down these important events on our normal daily audio stashes, Reformers Calendar. This is our Reformers Calendar for the week of March 10th. And remember, if you'd like to get your event mentioned on the normal daily audio stash Reformers Calendar, which is broadcast every Monday, just send an email to stash@normal.org. Tuesday, March 11th in Baltimore, Maryland, medical marijuana training from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the St. John's Church, 2640 St. Paul Street, Baltimore, Maryland. It's sponsored by the Drug Policy Alliance, Americans for Safe Access, and the Marijuana Policy Project. For more information, contact nlong@drugpolicy.org. Also, Tuesday, March 11th in Spokane, Washington, a film screening of Up the Ridge, a U.S. prison story, from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Magic Lantern Theater, 25 West Main, Spokane, Washington. Sponsored by the November Coalition Foundation and Thousand Kites. For more information, contact 509-684-1550 or email tom@november.org. Due to the graphic nature of this film, it is not recommended for children. Admission is free. Donations are gladly accepted. Thursday, March 13th, Is My Medicine Legal Yet? And Madison Normal, Spring Medical Cannabis Silent Auction and Fundraiser, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Glass Nickel Pizza at 2916 Atwood Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. Join Is My Medicine Legal Yet? And Madison Normal for a benefit featuring a silent auction, live music from Special Dank Midnights, snacks, and medical cannabis info. A cash bar will be available. Bid on cannabis memorabilia, including signed posters, pictures, art, and books, along with gift certificates for goods and services from local businesses and many unique items. Many of the auction items may be viewed in advance online at immly.org or madisonnormal.org. Items are being added daily. Some items will be on eBay only, with others available only at the event. For more information, visit immly.org or madisonnormal.org. And finally, for the next 3 weeks, Students for Sensible Drug Policy is sponsoring their Sensible Amsterdam Spring Break Travel Packages. You can book your tickets and RSVP through Facebook by visiting ssdp.org/events. Links and information for all of the events in the Normal Daily Audio Stash Reformers Calendar are also available online at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Here at the NORML Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Well, it's time for our musical break, and welcome to Blue Monday. Ever since we mentioned that unbelievable statistic of 1 in every 100 American citizens living behind bars, we've got real reason to be thinking about why we've got to stop the war on drugs. It's a war on people. Today's song from artist Davis Cohen goes out to our brothers and sisters of the cannabis community who are paying the price in this unnecessary war. Today's musical hit is called DEA Blues, and unfortunately, too many in our community have had to sing this familiar tune. Davis calls Charleston, South Carolina his home and is touring the U.S. with such blues greats as James Cotton, the North Mississippi All-Stars, and John Mayall and the Bluesbreakers. He has also toured in Europe and has done benefits for Katrina victims. You can buy his CDs on his website at davis cohen.com. For more information on this artist, you can always see music.podshow.com and download the MP3 and check out the information at our blog, stash.normal.org. This is Davis Cohen with the DEA Blues.
The drug dealer gone down the street of the South Bronx. Keep your mind at hand when you're up against the DEA. Well, the DEA loves that drug and power. Seven surrender to try to play for some.
Well, here on the Daily Auto Stash, we'd like to welcome Mason DeVert from Denver, Colorado, who is the man behind Safer out there in Denver, which made news for getting the city of Denver to vote on a lowest law enforcement priority issue, a ballot measure, I should say. And that passed successfully, but apparently not successfully enough. So, Mason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let our listeners know just a little bit about the history of the Safer organization, what the initiatives are that you've passed, and what is the problem that you're having in Denver right now?
Sure. Well, yeah, what happened is actually back in 2005, we passed a ballot measure in Denver, Colorado, that successfully amended city ordinances to remove all penalties for possession of up to an ounce of marijuana by adults 21 and older. And unfortunately, the city chose to continue enforcing the state law in the city, which was not necessary, but they continued doing so. As a result, we ran a statewide initiative in 2006 in Colorado, which ended up getting 41% statewide. But more importantly, once again, we had a majority in Denver. And just recently, in 2007, we decided to go back and really try to force the city to implement these changes. And we passed the lowest law enforcement priority measure, which simply directs the city to make the state law its lowest priority and more or less ignore it, and created a review panel, much like many of the other cities that have passed these laws. So we're still fighting with them. Unfortunately, arrests have continued to increase at the same rate that they were already increasing, and more or less they haven't changed any policies within the police or prosecutor's offices, and that's where the fight remains as we have this review panel that is now starting to really push this thing forward. And you know, there's a lot of interesting things happening, so we'll see what happens.
So just to summarize, 3 years in a row, the people of Denver have voted to stop harassing marijuana users, and since those 3 years have passed, the city government has completely ignored it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary. That's a very good summary. Yeah,
wow.
Basically. And you know, what's nice, though, is that our organization, while we are certainly out to change marijuana laws and policies, we're really out to change people, because once we change people, that's when the laws are really going to start, we're going to see some real change. So a lot of the efforts we engage in are very low budget, but really designed to get a message out, and that message is that marijuana is safer than alcohol. And once more people learn this and learn that marijuana is not so harmful, we will see change. And that's what's been happening in Denver. We went from about 53.5% in 2005 to about 56%, and now up to 57%, and obviously it's growing, and that's a good thing.
Well, we're seeing this change in other cities, too. I mean, Seattle most notably passed a lowest law enforcement priority and saw their arrests drop by, I think it was 80%.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Seattle is a great example. To put this in perspective, Seattle has a larger population than Denver, yet Seattle arrested or cited or prosecuted 125 people in 2006. Denver had about 1,400. So that's kind of, you get the idea here on what happens when a city follows this law versus ignores this law. And we continually hold up Seattle as an example. Even some of the city council members in Seattle wrote a letter on our behalf to the city council of Denver encouraging them to do this. So, you know, we're seeing more and more people, not only just at the grassroots and local levels and voters, but also even elected officials getting interested or at least starting to pay attention. And that's certainly a good thing.
Absolutely. And what will be the next step then for the people of Denver, and how can they get involved in maybe putting some pressure on the city attorney's office and the city officials' office?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's unclear what the absolute next step is. I mean, we certainly want to change state law here in Colorado. And as I mentioned, we had 41%. That was an extremely low budget. So we're fairly, and with some other issues that arose, we're fairly confident that we would see increases if we could do that again, but obviously it's very difficult financially to get something on a statewide ballot in a state this big. But, you know, we're to keep fighting in Denver. We have some very great, promising developments. Just 2 days ago at the latest Marijuana Policy Review Panel meeting, a resolution was introduced that basically encourages the city attorney's office to stop prosecuting cases, and that's seemingly has a good chance of passing in a few months, so we'll see what happens there. But, you know, it's really about people making sure they're involved and paying attention and voting for elected officials who are respecting their votes.
Well, the safer concept, too, is also spreading far beyond Denver. I did an interview, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago with the Normal chapter down at the University of Central Florida, and they were successful in getting their student government to adopt a safer style resolution. Do you have news of any other local areas around the country that are also going along with this safer idea?
Well, we're working with people all over. University of Central Florida is a great example. That's a great Normal chapter down there. They're very strong. And we worked with them to not only get the student government to approve it, which put it on the student ballot, but then we had a majority of students vote on it and approve it. And as a result, you know, they're now meeting with administrators and starting to actually talk about changing the school's policy, and it's very exciting. And we've done this with a lot of other universities, and we certainly encourage people at universities and just in cities around the country to get in touch with us. They can go to saferchoice.org and drop us an email, and we'd love to work with whoever we can.
Yeah, saferchoice.org. We want to encourage everyone to check that out, and we'll have a link to Safer Choice up at our blog at stash.normal.org. And it's an excellent idea, the idea that we can get people to be thinking more rationally about our marijuana laws by giving them something they can compare it to, which is alcohol. We have a regulated distribution system for alcohol, and that helps people to understand that we could have a regulated distribution system for marijuana.
Absolutely, and even more importantly, we should be giving adults the choice to, you know, the rational, safer choice to use marijuana instead of alcohol if that's what they prefer.
Absolutely. Well, Mason Tvert, thank you for joining us again here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. We'll send some people out to the website, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again in the future.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Mason. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from
former President and Nobel Peace Prize winner Jimmy Carter. Quote, "Penalties against the possession of a drug should not be more damaging to an individual than the use of the drug itself. Nowhere is this more clear to me than in the laws against possession of marijuana. Therefore, I support legislation amending federal law to eliminate all federal criminal penalties for the possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana." End quote. Yes, back in the late 70s, President Carter was advocating for an end to the penalties for personal possession of small amounts of marijuana. Perhaps this year we can get another president who will take us down that road again.